to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John. Hour number two of the Sports Hangover. I'm Jay Hargrave, pinch hitting for Gus Kattengill, who's away at Houston, Texas, for the Houston Cougars in the Tulane Green Wave women's basketball game tonight. My tag team partner today, Jordan the intern, who's already earned his snowball. In case you missed hour number one, Ian Begley, a guest that Jordan got for us, who covers the Knicks for ESPN, gave us some interesting information. Jordan, where can the fans go if they want to hear that interview with Ian Begley?
Make sure you go to our SoundCloud on our website, ESPNRadioNewOrleans.com, and you'll see it right the first thing after 3 o'clock today. And if you have any questions, just ask me at JD Kleber on Twitter if you have any problems pulling it up.
Jordan, you're getting that snowball, man. Yep. And we're going to rub it in Gus's face Friday. And, of course, Joey's manning the boards back at our studio in La Rose. And if you need want to get into the mix today, we've got one guest this hour. That's going to be Jake Madison coming up in the next segment. But if you want to get in, give us a call, 800-998-1003. Joey's manning the boards. He'll get you right on to the show as soon as we're at a breaking point. And give us your take. Look, if you've ever thought about calling a talk show and you've been afraid to do it, this isn't the show you need to be afraid about. We're not going to cut you off. We're not going to make you feel stupid. Give us a call and give us your take. This show's a little bit different than the other ones. But, Joey, it's hump day, so since it's not Rebecca Black, I really don't mind hearing some music about the day of the week today.
All right, let's roll them. I'm sorry.
Stop it.
I heard your voice, and that was just natural to come out that way because today is?
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
There goes your Christmas card.
I wish it was Friday.
It's hump day.
Hump day!
I think we all wish it was Friday. Yeah.
I don't.
I know you can hear me.
Oh, just because of Rebecca Black?
Well, man, it's my Monday. I'm off today, so.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it is. I get to do this. Waiting for Shock G.
To all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.
There you go. Can't go on until we hear the words of wisdom.
You know, Jordan. Apologize for the Rebecca Black.
Yeah, you should, because you just lost your Christmas card. Jordan earns a snowball, and you go and blow your Christmas card this year.
Guess who's got to pay for the snowball now?
So now I got to hear it four times this
week. You,
Joey. I know. Okay.
Thanks, Joey.
Take over, guys. Take over. I'm walking away.
Now I won't sleep tonight. Thanks, Joey.
Okay, anytime.
But Ian Begley giving us some interesting information. I don't think I know I was shocked that I could see the look on your face when he said he'd give the kitchen sink. You know, I kind of went into that interview thinking, okay, if you get a Zion Williamson and you get a Dennis Smith, I wasn't even sure they would include Kevin Knox in the deal. When he's talking about you could get those three guys.
Plus another first round pick
now. They make the playoffs if they're able to sign Durant and Kyrie Irving. But here's the thing. You make that trade. They don't sign Durant. They don't sign Kyrie. And Anthony Davis is over there by himself. Can they make the playoffs? Now, all of a sudden, that second pick you get.
Because now he doesn't have any. It's basically back in the same situation he was in New Orleans.
Exactly. So, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people are looking at it from the point of view of, can the team that trades for Anthony Davis, can they re-sign him? I kind of look at it the opposite way. What we get for Anthony Davis, are we going to get another DeMarcus Cousins? Play my contract out and walk out the door, and now we don't have Buddy Hield, we don't have DeMarcus Cousins. We can't afford to make this trade and then come up with nothing 3 years down the road because everybody's played their contracts out and left. So to me, the general manager hire is going to be the most critical thing that they do. That you have got to bring credibility of a Dave Griffin in here, or as Joel, who called in the first hour, brought up the name that nobody's brought up. I haven't heard it mentioned anywhere, is Jerry West. Can you throw a potload of money at Jerry West and get a Jerry West here. Because I think if you do, I think free agents and agents alike are going to look at this franchise in a whole different light, because a lot of these agents have already negotiated with him, and I'm sure they have a good reputation with him. Something you got to consider with a general manager. What kind of relationships does he have with all of these agents? Because you want a guy like Dave Griffin, who's respected, or Jerry West, who's respected. Because, you know, I get it. You got Zion. He's coming out of college. He's signing his rookie contract. That's pretty much a done deal. You've got 4 years. But some of these other guys might be 2 or 3 years left on their contract. Dennis Smith came out in 2017. He was the 9th pick at a draft. So for Anthony Davis, if you trade to the Knicks, if they win that lottery pick, Zion Williams, #1 pick in the draft, you get the 9th pick of the 2017 draft. Is a guy who's competed in the slam dunk competition at 6'3". I'm 6'3". This guy's competing as a point guard in a slam dunk competition. Now I've got two pretty long guards in Dennis Smith and Drew Holiday. Let's assume for a second that Klay Thompson re-signs with the Warriors. Now at least I've got two guards that can match up with Steph Curry and with Klay Thompson.
And then you also have to remember that the Pelicans have a first-round pick of their own. And it'll be in the top
10. I was going to bring up, and that's a great point, is, you know, right now you're looking at the 10th pick in the draft where the Pelicans sit right now. I think it's possible they could probably win some games in the second half, and I could end up being maybe the 12th pick. Who knows? Maybe you get lucky. What if your name doesn't come out when it's supposed to, and all of a sudden
you're the 8th or 7th or 6th and then 5th?
Yeah, and what if they're saying, Mark Jones, if he's still doing the lottery, saying that means the Pelicans, the pick that they have is in the top 3. Now all of a sudden maybe you're sitting 1 and 3. I know, it's pie in the sky.
The ping pong guys would have to really be on your side with that one.
It's happened before. Because look, you will not have made that trade for Anthony Davis yet. You won't be able to because it's going to happen during the playoffs. So no one's going to know that the Knicks have traded the pick to the Pelicans. So the only Pelican logo in there is going to be the one that we have. We would have to move from 10 or 12 all the way into 1, 2, and 3.
And if the Pelicans do find a way, or the gods do bless us with that #1 pick from 9 to all the way to 1.
Could you imagine that?
You're looking at getting Zion Williamson.
On your own.
And then that's
trading Anthony Davis.
Trading Anthony Davis to the Celtics for multiple first-round picks. Jason. And Jason Tatum. And maybe get Jaylen Brown.
I know we're dreaming here, and the chances of it happening are slim and none. Yeah. And Slim's on a bus headed to Albuquerque.
Todd called yesterday and said, what were we drinking over here when we mentioned that? So,
oh, Todd always thinks that. Yeah. So he always thinks we're drinking over here. So that doesn't bother me. We after what we went through as Saints fans, we're allowed to dream a little bit. Especially when it comes to basketball, because that would be something. I mean, look, it's happened before. I'm trying to remember if it was it David Robinson? It was Tim Duncan, where the Spurs were not supposed to be in the top 3. And ended up, I think it was Tim Duncan, I think, where they were not one of the top 3 picks and they got lucky in the lottery. And of course, the infamous one where it was supposedly rigged, where Patrick Ewing ended up, the Knicks actually won the lottery and everybody says it was rigged. That was when the NBA was accused of collusion with rigging the draft so that Ewing would be in big market New York. But it has happened before. It's not likely. But, boy, you're talking about setting up a franchise for a long time. If you were to acquire Zion on your own and then be able to turn around and trade Anthony Davis wherever you want, boy, you're talking about being the Philadelphia 76ers in no time, because you've already got your veteran in Drew Holiday. You would know, I mean, I can't see a scenario where I would trade that guy. I think he's too valuable to this franchise. I think this franchise loves him. The fans love him. They see the value of his leadership. You have that veteran guard, that veteran guy who can lead you. I also think you go pick up some veteran leadership in the free agency. A guy I've mentioned on numerous occasions is Patrick Beverley, a guy who you can kind of get on the cheap, maybe, you know, $6-7 million. But he's a guy who could be your backup point guard, start in an emergency situation. But he could be a guy who backs up a Dennis Smith or even an Elfrid Payton if you bring Elfrid Payton back. But Beverly is that guy's that he's that pit bull. He's what the Pelicans have been missing. Anthony Davis isn't. He's that guy. He's the Draymond Green that's going to go get under everybody's skin. I don't know if you remember this game earlier in the year. It was early, right after the four-game win streak. We were playing the Rockets, and I don't think it was the first game. I think it was the second time we played them. And Davis got the ball on the baseline down on the corner, and the shot clock was down to like 2 or 3 seconds. It was hardly any time. And Beverly, at that point, switched off to Anthony Davis. And Davis was, I mean, if he would have moved his foot, he would have been out of bounds one way or the other. He was in the corner. And he had to jack up a three that was next to impossible, and it hit the side of the backboard, and Beverly was guarding him. And Beverly immediately got right up against him, talking trash to him, saying, I shut you down. And you could see Davis laughing like, yeah, you shut me down. It was 2 seconds. But he wouldn't back off of it. He was trying to get under Davis's skin like, yeah, I made you look bad on national TV. And that's the kind of guy that Draymond Green is, that tries to get guys out of their game. But it's also a guy that plays 100 miles an hour and gives you max effort every time he's on the floor. He's that guy that when guys aren't moving the ball, he's going to get on them and tell them, move the damn ball, quit jacking up shots, quit playing one-on-one. I think that's a vital part, and that's something that I think the Pelicans need to address in free agency. And they've got some people out there in free agency. They've got some veterans that could help this team. In our next segment, in a couple of minutes, we have Jake Madison on, and he's going to be talking about the shape that the Pelicans are in. Weren't in that great a position with Anthony Davis being here, with two max guys and Drew and Anthony. But now you're in a position, losing Anthony Davis, what does that do to us in a trade? You know, with the salary cap, would you be able to get, you know, another max free agent guy here? We're going to ask Jake that in the coming segment. But free agency, now with this trade with Anthony Davis, has really taken on a whole new meaning, because you got some options out there now. A guy like Tobias Harris, who I think is a budding superstar, came over from Orlando, went over to the Clippers in the trade for he was part, I think, the Blake Griffin trade. I think it was a three-way where he went from Orlando, Blake went to the Pistons. I think that's how Tobias Harris ended up at the Clippers. Well, Tobias Harris was just recently traded to the 76ers and is now part of that mega team who looking to win the Eastern Conference. I think Tobias Harris is a guy who can give you 24 points a game. He can give you 6-8 rebounds. He's one of those veteran guys. I think he's a budding superstar, maybe in the role of Drew Holiday, a guy that people, you know, really didn't want to give the credit to, saying he's a number one guy. I think Drew's right on that cusp of being that number one, that leading scorer on the team, that guy that a team could build around. I think Tobias Harris, the only problem, Tobias Harris is probably going to come with a price tag of about $20 million. And that's why we got Jake Madison coming on, to see if he's even feasible. It's something that the Pelicans would be able to even look at. Who's out of our league? Klay Thompson coming up. Some big names coming available this free agency. And I know a lot of people are going to be waiting for the trade chips to fall before they start even thinking free agency. So we're going to take a quick break here, try to leave some extra time for Jake Madison, because I got the feeling once we get started with the salary cap and free agency, we're going to go on and try to take an early break here and get a little extra time for Jake Madison in the second hour. After that, we're wide open for your phone calls, 800-998-1003. If you want to get involved, give us a call. Jordan, tell the people how they can get a hold of us on social media.
On Twitter and Facebook, put in at ESPN Radio New Orleans. Bring you right up to our Facebook and Twitter page. You can comment on our question of the day, which is,
who do you want to see as the starting five when they make that announcement? Welcome to the Smoothie King Arena for the 2019-2020 season. Who are the five names that come out of the announcer's mouth as the starters of the New Orleans Pelicans? So give us your take on that one by call, by social media. Quick break. When we come back, Jake Madison is going to join us to talk Pel salary cap. This is the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's a brand new year at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal on Ram at Ram Truck Month. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram trucker van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
You Bet Your Boots footwear store has been in business since 1979. Their bestsellers are the Irish Setter, Two Harbors, and Marshall series. You Bet Your Boots also carries Red Wing, Irish Setter, Works, and Dan Post. Do you have foot, knee, or back pain? Try their corrective insoles and footwear by Spenco, focusing mainly on the working man. They can also accommodate a casual fit in their Dan Post line. So shop until you drop at Bet Your Boots on Bayou Gardens Boulevard for discounts between 15 and 20%.
Keep up with your favorite shows on the go with TV Everywhere. Vision's TV packages now include TV Everywhere, so you can watch your favorites on any internet-connected laptop or mobile device, anytime, anywhere. Keep up with series, movies, and more from many networks in your TV package, including live sports on channels like ESPN. Just log in, make your selection, and enjoy. TV Everywhere. It's included with Vision's TV service. Sign up now at viscom.net.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Joey, bringing us back with a little kung fu fighting, man. You're going back way to the 70s. Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. I'm Jay Hargrave, pinch hitting for Gus Kattengill. And I am happy to be bringing in Jake Madison from Locked On Pels. Jake, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time today.
Not a problem. Happy to come on and talk some hoops.
You know, Jake, we all knew, you know, when this season ended, the Pels weren't in the best of shape with the salary cap with Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday both being max guys. Kind of figured that the hands were going to be tied at the Pelicans in ways to improve this team, but all bets are off now because it doesn't look like we're going to have one of those max guys on the roster when we start the season next year. What would the salary cap situation be for the Pelicans, assuming that the trade for Anthony Davis goes down before the start of the season?
Yeah, so to be honest, it won't change that much because the way it works in the NBA is if you're a team that's over the salary cap and New Orleans still kind of looks to be, there's soft cap and a hard cap. You can go over the soft cap to re-sign your own guys, essentially, or to make smaller moves, whereas teams with cap space can then go out and get those big name free sign with a bigger money deal. You know, being over the soft cap, you have to trade players for equal value. So the money basically needs to match. So if you trade Anthony Davis and the $25 million that he's making, they're going to be bringing back close to $25 million in salary as well. So it doesn't change much for next year for the team, but where it really starts to impact them will be the couple of seasons after that. If you make a trade with, say, Boston, where you bring in a guy like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, both of whom are making under $10 million a year, they're going to attach it to a guy like Al Horford, who's an expiring deal. So, yes, you've got to pay him next season. But after that, that money falls off the books, and all of a sudden, that's when you'll start to see $20 million to $30 million start to free up so that they can spend that on the free agent class in 2 years. So they're not quite in the most flexible spot just yet, but it's going to change a lot going forward. You know, they don't have Nikola Mirotic on the roster now. They're not looking to necessarily bring him back and re-sign him. That money's going to be off the books. If they let a guy like Julius Randle walk, that's going to clear another $10 million in cap space. So the team has a lot of flexibility going forward, something we have not seen in a very long time here in New Orleans.
Okay, let's talk about a guy who could be, to me, a throw-in with the Anthony Davis trade. That's Solomon Hill. A lot of people have wanted to get from underneath that contract. What is the situation with Solomon Hill as far as the cap goes? Would he be a guy that the Pelicans would demand he's going to be the package with Anthony Davis? Correct me if I'm wrong. He's a base salary of about $12.7 million, which means the Pelicans would be able to get back close to $40 million in return value.
Yeah, and that would be used in a trade like for Al Horford, who I think has a player option, which he's almost assuredly going to opt into for around $25 to $30 million. So, you know, I don't think it'll be a make or break thing. I think it just kind of depends on the trade and what the opposing team is looking for. Solomon Hill is making about, like you said, $12.7 million next year, but that's the final year of his deal. They're not tied to him beyond that. And those you've seen be used as kind of trade chips, expiring salary to bring in a guy that's younger for teams looking to get off of money in a season. So Solomon Hill might be a bit of an asset to this team next season, much like how Omer Asik was being in the final year of his deal when he was traded and not having as much guaranteed money going forward. So he can be used to kind of either create a bigger trade if you do want to bring back a guy like Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, or you don't have to include him, and it gives you a little bit more flexibility on the type of trade you want to make if you're not looking to bring back kind of bloated salary or extra players just for the sake of bringing in extra players. You know, New Orleans certainly would like to not pay him since he's not playing much this season. He doesn't look to really play much next season. So if you're going to have a big money guy sitting on the bench, you may as well have one that gets minutes for you on the court. I think that's why New Orleans would like to include him in a trade. But, you know, if it came down to moving Anthony Davis for the deal that you want and the other team goes, well, we're not going to do this if you include Solomon Hill, I don't think that will be force this other team to take Solomon Hill on there. So the nice thing to have and the flexibility he provides in a weird way with his contract, but it's not a make or break thing.
So do you think they would maybe try to hold on to Solomon Hill and maybe moving by the trade deadline, and maybe at that point you see where your team is at and it might help you acquire a veteran down the road?
Yeah, you know, what you might look to do next year if he's on the roster is move him for a guy that has multiple years left on their deal. So maybe it's a younger player who has some potential that's got a 2 or 3 year contract, and you can trade him for Solomon Hill, and then that team that's looking to shed some money and maybe start a rebuilding process gets off that Solomon Hill contract. They get a lot more salary cap flexibility in the offseason, and then New Orleans gets a player that someone they want to take a look at or that they think can contribute right away. And that's what I think you may see, assuming he stays on the roster, and who knows yet, because I think we'll see a couple different offers start to come through for Anthony Davis this offseason that maybe include him, maybe don't. But if they do keep him next year, I think that's kind of what you're looking to see.
Jake, earlier in the show we had Ian Begley on, who covers the Knicks for ESPN, and we asked him what would the Knicks be willing to give up, and he kind of surprised us where he said the kitchen sink. He said there's not one name on that roster that he thinks would not be available. Do you think the trade for Anthony Davis, you think that has to go down first before the Pelicans make any kind of move in free agency? You have to see what you're going to get from Anthony Davis, because it could include a guy like Dennis Smith, which may affect the ability of signing, or your want of signing Elfrid Payton, or a guy like Kevin Knox might be included. Does the Davis trade go down first before any free agent moves happen?
Yeah, I think that's going to kind of be the biggest thing. The first domino we're going to need to wait and see on, it's not even Anthony Davis, though, it's what does Kyrie Irving do? Does he re-sign with Boston? Does he move to the New York Knicks? Does he go to another team and kind of a surprise thing here? And I think that's the first domino we've got to wait and see. And then the next one definitely will be Anthony Davis and that trade. You're not going to look to remake this roster until you know who the core guys are going to be on it, and they're going to come back in the Anthony Davis trade. If it is guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, those are two of your key players. You don't want to then go and sign free that overlap at their position, potentially take minutes away from them, and you want those guys to shine. Same thing with the New York Knicks. You know, you might not look to bring back a guy like Elfrid Payton and instead have a younger guy in Dennis Smith Jr. playing, or Frank Ntilikina, who's a point guard there as well. And then same with Kevin Knox in the front court. If you bring him back in, he's a bit of a four. He can play the three as well. Maybe you don't look to bring back Julius Randle and give him a big money deal and instead go with the youth move. Everything for the Pelicans team is going to be predicated on what the return for Anthony Davis is.
You know, just speaking with Jake Madison, who is locked on Pels, Jake, you know, you brought up a name right there in Kevin Knox, who plays the three or the four. One of the guys who's really shined when, you know, Davis hit the bench was a guy like Kenrich Williams, who's going to be a free agent. That's got to be a guy who's got to be a pretty high priority for the Pelicans to bring back. Plays both ends of the floor very well, hustles, and right now, correct me if I'm wrong, it's $1.4 million. Do you think the Pels bring him back, and what is the price tag we're talking about getting to Kenrich Williams for? What can he get?
So he's actually under contract for next year for $1.4 million. So he should be back. I believe it's more or less a team option. It's a unguaranteed second year, so they could cut him or waive him, and they wouldn't really pay him much money. But at $1.4 million, he's going to be back, and you have to figure he'll actually have a pretty prominent role with the Pelicans next season. This is a guy that they were really high on coming out of the draft. When he went undrafted, they were pretty surprised, very happy about that, and brought him in as that undrafted guy to earn a roster spot and kept him there over maybe some other bigger names than you would have expected, and it was a bit of a surprise. But he's impressed in his 23 games he's played. The guy's averaging almost 11 points per game and 9 rebounds. For $1.4 million, that is some excellent production from next year. New Orleans has a couple guys like that. Jahlil Okafor is another guy who's making 1.7, I think, next year. Can give you something like 15 and 10. And these are guys that they look to that could be starters next year or be key contributors off the bench or in a reserve role. So Kenrich Williams has been very impressive this year. Like you said, he plays on both ends of the court, rebounds exceptionally well for his position, just seems to be a very smart basketball player, showing off a bit of a three-point shot as well. There's the makings of kind of a modern NBA player, and New Orleans is definitely going to be keeping him and look to keep him for the long term. Don't be surprised if they potentially negotiate a longer-term deal for him.
Jake, the Milwaukee Bucks right now, best record in the entire NBA. Let's just assume for a second that these guys make a deep run, maybe even win the East and get to play Golden State in the finals. How much do you think that would change the NBA? Because right now everybody's in an arms race to try to get three superstars or four superstars, load a roster up. Well, Milwaukee's got the best record in the league. They've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they got a bunch of other guys, Malcolm Brogdon, Chris Middleton. Not superstars, but they've just got a bunch of guys who play the game very well. How important is it, and do you think GMs are going to maybe change their thinking if Milwaukee has some success with this formula?
Yeah, you know, I think they're going to look to kind of build deeper rosters, which is somewhat what you see with that Milwaukee Bucks team. They've got Giannis, who's one of the top three players in the NBA right now, the future face of the league. They've got a guy like Chris Middleton, who's been excellent too, who's kind of been a forgotten guy because of an injury he had a couple of years ago. Eric Bledsoe was an all-star this year, so that's another guy in there who played exceptionally well. And they're just kind of, you know, you look at that team, and it's just smart, small moves that pay greater dividends than we were expecting, where that team is kind of greater than the sum of its parts. Brook Lopez, who was signed for very little money, is a perfect fit next to Giannis there with his three-point shooting and the spacing that he's been able to adequately add. Nikola Mirotic is there now. He's going to be a great piece. And it's just smart team building of knowing what you want this team to look like and then going out and being very aggressive in acquiring those pieces that fit around your superstar perfectly. You want shooters around Giannis, and that is something that they've done there and striven to kind of add. Malcolm Brogdon shoots above 40% from three. Eric Bledsoe's passable. Brook Lopez is shooting almost 37%. They have guys who can space the court. They've built a really good team there. And I think instead of getting a bunch of mismatched parts that are very talented, you look to build a more cohesive unit. And that's what Milwaukee's doing.
All right, last question, Jake. I'm up against the break. But the free agent market out there, obviously things haven't changed. So as Milwaukee has had a shrewd GM who's made great moves, who's that free agent out there for Jake Madison that you would like to see the Pelicans get? They could probably get him for not a whole lot of money, but you think could be a guy. For me, I'm looking at a guy like Kenneth Faried out of Houston. Maybe that garbage guy that's going to get dirty, get on the ground, fight for offensive rebounds. Who's that guy for Jake Madison?
I don't have a name. I haven't started doing a lot of free agent prep yet, but I like what you're saying there and that kind of mold of a player. You've got a chance to remake this team, and you can instill a new attitude, something that we haven't really seen from this Pelicans roster this year, that kind of cohesive mindset that they're looking for. Guys in the mold of Jrue Holiday that are leaders that try hard and just hustle. I think when you're going to have a very young team next year, just getting guys to kind of play the game the right way is important. And if I were the Pelicans, that's the type of player I'd target.
Jake Madison, how can people follow you? Because I know there's going to be a lot of people in the next few months following everything that's going on with the Anthony Davis saga.
Yeah, got a lot going on already. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at NolaJake. And, of course, if you want to listen to the Locked On Pelicans podcast, which is Monday through Friday, about 30 minutes, 20 minutes for your morning commute, your easy commute, whenever you get to listen to it, just search Locked On Pelicans wherever you get your podcast from.
That's Jake Madison, the man, the salary cap guru. Not sure you won't be working for the Pelicans soon. Hint, hint, Pelicans. The man knows the salary cap. We could use his expertise. Thanks, Jake. We appreciate your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me on today.
All right, Jake Madison, we're Locked On Pels. Tune into his podcast. Great information. Little things that we never factored in there with the salary cap that, you know, it's going to be a dollar-for-dollar move, and so free agency probably changed a lot of things in the next season. But you might be able to get some big names in that trade with Anthony Davis instead, so that's going to maybe be your free agent signing. Well, halfway through the show, hard to believe. Come back, we're going to pick it up talking more about the Pelicans and picking back up into action on Friday. A couple of big games at Indianapolis on Friday and coming home to play the loser, LeBron James, and the Los Angeles Lakers on Saturday. That's going to be an interesting game just for the fans alone. Quick break when we come back. Start the second half of the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
With Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Uber has been doing a ton of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits, like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
At Progressive, we think your handbag business with a reversible top notch is top notch. In fact, there's no other notch at the tippity top your top notch doesn't top. But even at the top, you didn't stop. You copped Progressive Business Insurance. With over 40 years of expertise helping non-stop and top-notchers notch spots at the top. Now, break out your stopwatch and hopscotch to progressivecommercial.com. Because this is one opportunity you don't want to botch. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
Credit Karma can help you make financial progress by giving you free scores, reports, and monitoring. But Credit Karma does not give you the love that only a mother can. It's just an app.
I miss my mom.
But you can use Credit Karma to help you improve your credit. But it cannot solve the eternal question surrounding the human condition.
Oh, come on, I need answers.
But signing up is free. No credit card needed. Just download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, there's my answer.
Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet, the back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it, but it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Jay Hardgray filling in for Gus Kattengill. We'll be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock in the captain's chair. Big night in college basketball tonight. The your 13th ranked LSU Tigers at 6 p.m. taking on the Florida Gators. Tigers favored by 7 points. When was the last time LSU was favored by 7 points over the Florida Gators in basketball? That game's going to be 6 p.m. on ESPN2. And later tonight, the big one, number 8, North Carolina at number 1, Duke, and maybe future Pelican Zion Williamson. That's at Cameron Indoor Arena. Duke favored by 9 in that game. That's on ESPN regular television. Jordan, got the feeling a lot of Pels fans are going to be watching a lot of Duke basketball from here on out.
I've been watching it since a little bit after the beginning of the season started on Duke, and I've been watching documentaries on this year's Duke basketball team. So there's one ESPN Plus, and then they have a YouTube channel called Big Blue Nation, a Duke Blue Nation on YouTube. And I'm just really pumped up for tonight's game against North Carolina.
Look, we had a caller earlier in the show. Joe called in, and he was talking about how he thought the Laker offer was best. I'm a guy who leans towards Zion. I've seen a kid who wants to play defense. He's a willing participant. A lot of kids in college basketball, a lot of kids in AAU basketball don't have any kind of desire. Their idea of playing defense is like the NBA All-Star game. It's like when a guy takes 2 steps to the goal, you get out of his way and let him dunk and go get the ball so you can inbound it and get down on the offensive end. Zion is a guy who is committed to defense, likes to block shots, likes to play defense. You know, and I keep going back to this with Drew Holiday. People underestimate his ability on defense. If I tell you today, we're going into the playoffs and have to play the Houston Rockets, and we've got to go up against James Harden, and you get to pick anybody in the NBA that has to guard James Harden, who are you picking? For me, it's Drew Holiday. He's the guy that, to me, has had the most success. No one's going to stop James Harden. He's got the referees in his back pocket. He's going to get fouls that shouldn't be called. He's going to get, you know, goals of driving to the basket. He's going to get points that way. He's a tough guy to stop. But Drew Holiday, of the times I've watched, is the only guy that seems to give James Harden's fit. I remember they were talking on the telecast that the 30-point streak was in extreme jeopardy. Because Holiday had done such a good job on him, he got it late in the game with only a few minutes left. He was able to get his point total over 30 to keep the streak alive. But you wonder when that streak's going to stop, and if it does, is it because somebody was playing defense, or maybe because he had an injury and had to exit the game early? To me, when I watch the Rockets play, Drew Holiday's the only guy that can play him defensively. You had another guy like Zion Williamson, and maybe you're able to pick up a Dennis Smith in the trade with Anthony Davis gives you another 6'3 guard that can play defense. You've got Kenrich Williams that can play defense. All of a sudden, you're building a team that can play defense, and if you can play defense in the regular season, you got a shot in the playoffs. So that's, to me, where the Pelicans need to be looking. They need to be looking at a defensive team, and I know Gus has always made the comment of, you've got to go out and decide who you're going to be and what kind of team you're going to be. I, as far as a coach goes, I don't go down that path. My path is extremely simple. I want to get a coach that can coach any type of team. It doesn't have to be a defensive team. It doesn't have to be an offensive team. It doesn't have to be fast-paced. I want to see a guy, and this is one of the things that has gotten me down about Alvin Gentry, has gotten me down on him, is it seems like his game plan is extremely simple. We're going to play with pace. We're going to push the ball up and down the court. We're going to play fast pace. We're going to get shots up quick. We're going to inbound the ball quick. We're going to get it up the court quick. But if that doesn't work, there's not a plan B. We don't have anything to change to. We can't say, hey, look, our bench is short. And I've watched them this year where the bench was short. People were out with injuries. All right. When you're running with a short bench, the game plan needs to be, let's play slow and deliberate on the offensive end, and let's run the 24-second clock down. Let's shorten this game up, less possessions, less running up and down the court, and I can save some of my players where maybe we can keep this game close till the fourth quarter, and then we'll go and try to make a run at winning this game. Instead, we're going to play a fast pace game, We're going to wear our guys out. We've got a short bench. We got less guys to go to. So in the second half, our guys are gassed. The other team's full of energy, and they're running up and down the court, and we can't keep up with them. And all of a sudden, what was a close game at halftime becomes a blowout in the second half. So I want to see a coach that can, you know, we just talked about Milwaukee with Jake Madison. You know, Mike Budenholzer, he was booted out of Atlanta. And look what he's done. I get it. He didn't have Giannis Antetokounmpo in Atlanta. But you could tell the guy was a legitimate coach. When he first got to Atlanta, there was talent there. And he was able to take what they had and get the most out of it. And that's what I want to see from a coach. There are coaches out there like a Mike Budenholzer. I know you're not getting him from Milwaukee. I know you're not getting Rick Carlisle from the Dallas Mavericks. But there are coaches out there that look at teams and say, here's the mismatch. Here's where we have an advantage against this team. We're going to try to take our offense and do this because they can't stop it. How many times have you seen the Pelicans playing? Tim Frazier gets off the bench. And look, I love Tim Frazier. I love the way the guy plays. He plays hard. I love the way he plays the point guard position. But the minute he goes back on defense, you can see teams will automatically clear out down low, bring their big guys out front, and let whoever Tim Frazier is guarding post Tim Frazier up, knowing we're either going to get a layup or he's going to foul and we're going to get free throws. And we're going to exploit that mismatch. That's my problem with Alvin Gentry. I don't see enough exploiting mismatches. And when you've got a guy like Anthony Davis on your roster, you are going to have mismatches. He is a guy that is going to give you mismatches, but he's also a guy that has to create mismatches. And I think that's where the criticism of Anthony Davis is fair. I don't think Anthony Davis has created enough mismatches. When you watch Michael Jordan play for the Chicago Bulls, and I know people get tired of hearing about Michael Jordan this, Michael Jordan that. Full disclosure, I hated Michael Jordan. I couldn't stand him. I pulled against him every year. When the guy retired, I had to look back at it and say, you know what? He may have been the best of all times because he was a guy that we talked about Drew Holiday earlier saying, get on my back. Michael Jordan did that. He did it in the playoffs. He did it in the fourth quarter. He did it with the team trailing in the fourth quarter. He did it in a tie game in the fourth quarter. He did it with a small lead in the fourth quarter. Get on my back. But when Michael Jordan put the team on his back, three guys from the opposing defense would collapse on him. I don't see that with LeBron. Don't see it with Anthony Davis. Saw it with Michael Jordan. Anthony Davis, to me, has become way too soft, and I criticize Alvin Gentry for this. He's become soft. He's avoiding contact, and I get it. He's been hurt in the past. But if you want to win a championship, you don't win championships by playing 90%, 85%. You win championships by going 100% all of the time, especially when the playoffs start. Davis has not been that guy that's been able to get teammates open. Everybody always wants to say, oh, Scottie Pippen this, and Steve Kerr was on that team, and Horace Grant was on that team. Those guys were good because they got wide open shots because Michael Jordan. Because when Michael Jordan penetrated and the defense collapsed and everybody left their man, they had wide open shots. And if you watch the Pelicans earlier in the year, not so much since Anthony Davis has been out, but when you watch the Pelicans earlier in the year, you consistently see guys sitting on the three-point line, and there's 15 feet before you see a Pelican defender. And when that ball hits that guy's hands, it's like practice three-pointers. And if you go early to a Pelicans game and watch guys shoot in warm-ups, watch how many three-pointers they can drain when nobody's in their face. It's not difficult for NBA players. They can hit 60, 70% of their three-pointers. And to me, that's the problem. So when it comes down to picking a coach, I really want to see the Pelicans go get a guy who is not the Chip Kelly mold. I have this system, and I'm going to force this system down your throat. We're going to play this system consistently. We're going to play it no matter what. Win, lose, or draw. I want to see a coach. When the Pelicans hired a GM, go get a coach who can coach a team that he has and put them in the best position to win. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up talking about the Pel some more. Last segment of hour number two on the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans. Don't go anywhere.
are proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
You travel a lot, don't you?
Well, in business, yes. In basketball, never.
Well, if you're traveling for work, La Quinta by Wyndham has what you need to win on the road.
I mean, you get a spacious work area right in your room, plus charging areas for at least five devices.
And do not forget their hearty, bright side breakfast with waffles, eggs, and meat.
Oh, that's a triple threat.
It's like having home court advantage even when you're away.
Step up your road game and win at business with La Quinta.
Get the best rate guaranteed when you book at LQ.com.
Swish.
It's time for some straight talk.
I'm ready for it.
You want the best coverage, right?
Of course. Don't want the QB throwing any deep bombs.
I'm talking about coverage on your smartphone, Wingo.
Oh, I get you now. I want the best nationwide coverage then.
Well, you'll get it with Straight Talk. The same great 4G LTE networks as the big guys for up to 30% less.
Man, you got to grab that deal and run with it.
Take it to the house.
With nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, get the Straight Talk $45 unlimited plan with 15 gigs of high-speed data. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
We've all seen that moment in movie credits that says no animals were harmed in the making of this film. As a film director, I rely on the 8 decades of experience American Humane brings to safeguarding animals on set. They consult on scripts, advise on locations, training, veterinary care, and so much more. As a director, nothing is more important than making sure everyone is safe, and that includes the animals on set as well. And thanks to the passionate people of American Humane, we can.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Joey, you're killing it with the music today, man. Dropping some Isley Brothers on us before we went to break. Nice work on the music today. Jay Hargrave back with the Sports Hangover, filling in for Gus Kattengill. Gus will be back tomorrow at regular 12 o'clock start time for a show tomorrow covering Tulane's women's basketball team in their game against Houston. And before we went on the air again after that break, Joey whispered in my ear that the Steelers will not be picking up or placing a franchise tag on running back Le'Veon Bell. Of course, yesterday the story came out that Antonio Brown was meeting with the owner, and it seems to be an amicable part that they're going to trade Antonio Brown. But, you know, they're losing two of their big three right there, and it really kind of affects the Saints to me, because if Le'Veon Bell's going to be available as a free agent, you know, the Saints, we've all agreed that probably the biggest name that everybody's going to be interested in free agency is Mark Ingram. What is the Saints going to do with Mark Ingram? You know, that's got to affect Mark Ingram. Of course, Cleveland has already made the move to sign Kareem Hunt, so obviously that's a team that's automatically out of signing another running back since they've signed Kareem Hunt. How many teams, A, are going to be looking for a running back? But you've got now Le'Veon Bell available, and you've got reports that Jacksonville may not be happy with Leonard Fournette, that maybe they would be looking to make a move with Leonard Fournette. I know there's some sentiment out there that people think that Mark Ingram is going to command too much money, but I could see this become a situation where this could drag out for a long period of time. I would not expect to see free agency start and Mark Ingram on the first hour sign a contract with the New Orleans Saints, but I could see weeks go by where Mark Ingram doesn't sign with anybody, and then toward the end of free agency, as teams are getting close to getting ready for training camp, I could see Mark Ingram coming to a deal with the Saints. I kind of feel the same way about Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, there are not a lot of teams out there who are going to be looking through, you know, looking for quarterbacks. So if you look at that situation, you know, Baltimore's already traded Flacco to Denver. Now Case Keenum's on the market. There's really about five teams in the NFL who are probably looking for a quarterback. Is Teddy Bridgewater going to go somewhere to a team where that team's going to turn around and use Kyler Murray, their number one pick to get a Kyler Murray or Haskins from Ohio State? Does Teddy Bridgewater want to leave the Saints and go somewhere where they've got a young quarterback that they're going to turn to? Arizona's got Josh Rosen. A lot of question marks there. Do they go and use Kingsbury when he was at Texas Tech, made several comments about Kyler Murray, how he would love to have had him. Now, all of a sudden, he's got a chance to pick him. If you do, what are you going to do with Josh Rosen? What can you get for him? So I think there's a lot of chips that have to fall, and I'm curious for two big players for the Saints, and that's Teddy Bridgewater and that's Mark Ingram. I'd love to see both of them come back, but I'd love to see them both come back at a price tag that works for this team so that hopefully things can go our way this year. Win the Super Bowl. You got to believe now. I felt this way last year, and I think you've got to agree. If the Saints win the Super Bowl this coming year, Drew Brees is going to walk out.
I don't know.
You still don't think so.
Tom Brady, everyone thought if he won the Super Bowl this year, Tom Brady was going to head out the door, and we all saw what happened with that situation.
But did you think Brady would have been more likely to retire or Drew Brees if the Saints had won the Super Bowl? I felt Drew was a better chance to retire than Brady.
I don't know. I feel like Brady would have had a better chance because, especially with this team, everyone counted him out. It would have been a great way to go out on.
He brought this
team that no one thought could have made it to the AFC Championship game.
Let alone
the Super Bowl and win it.
I agree with that, but what I'm saying is a better chance. Did you think there was a better chance of Brady retiring if they won, or a better chance if Brees retires?
I think Brady.
If they won. I thought it would have been Brees. I really did, because, you know, it's what I kept telling people. You can't compete with kids. And when Drew comes home and the kids are like, Dad, let's go throw the football. Let's go play this. And no, I got to break down film on Carolina. Sorry, kids, can't play with you. You know, that kills him. And he's making comments like that to the media about wanting to coach his kids. His kids are getting to that age, and he wants to be that coach. He wants to be there to teach his kids the game and to teach them the right way. Because, look, if you've been anywhere near high school football in the lower leagues, you realize those kids are not getting the coaching that they need because the coaching is inferior in a lot of places like that. And Drew knows if he wants his kids to play, he's going to have to do it himself. So that's difficult to compete with. I think there's probably, if I had to put a percentage on it, I think I've got to go 85% chance that if the Saints win the Super Bowl next year, Drew walks away. What percent do you think?
I got to get 50-50.
You think 50-50?
50-50. Because then it all depends on how we win the Super Bowl. Is it, do we run the season? Do we run the tables with everybody?
So you're saying like a...
To where like it's a blowout.
15-1 regular season, so roll through the playoffs.
Yeah, roll through the playoffs, win the Super Bowl with ease. Drew Brees doesn't put too much wear and tear on his arm. So I think that'll all play into effect on if Drew Brees comes back next year. It's just up to how much more talent can we bring back to the team that upcoming year, because you know it's hard to repeat.
Well, that's it. And I know next year, this offseason, the Saints are in pretty good shape. They don't lose a lot of guys. Next year, there's not going to be so much. You're going to have a lot of guys' contracts coming open, and it's going to be difficult for the Saints to re-sign all those guys. Many of them coming off of rookie contracts. So that means I want my payday.
There's going to be a lot of money, and he probably will have to leave a lot of money on the table if he wants some of those guys to come back.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of lean toward Drew kind of walking away if they're able to win it this year. Mark Ingram, Mark's up in age. You know, you say up in age, 28, what is he, 29, going on 30, somewhere in there, pushing 30. That's a lot for a running back, and I get it. He hasn't been the guy where he had to take all of the carries and all of the poundings, but you're seeing, like, over in Arizona, you know, with David Johnson. David Johnson was at one point the number one fantasy guy. Every fantasy draft, David Johnson was going number one.
This year.
He's not even the number one pick anymore. He's not even a first rounder. You're going to get David Johnson second or third round because of the injuries. Now, Mark hasn't had the amount of injuries, but how much is a team going to be willing to pay? Because a lot of people are saying, we want Ingram back, but we want him back at the right price. To get him back at the right price, that means a lot of teams aren't offering more than we're offering. And I think in Mark Ingram's case, I think he's the type of guy that if it's just $1 million, they're giving me, you know, $1 million more than the Saints. Yeah, thanks a lot, but I'm going to stay here in New Orleans. I want to be with the Saints.
I agree with you, but at the same time, I could also see him going after the money.
But do you think he's going to get the offer, though? Do you think there's a team out there that's going to offer him a lot of money? That's the key. Who's gonna fork out that kind of money on a 30-year-old running back?
I mean, if the Jaguars are willing to part ways with Leonard Fournette, they might be looking at a guy like Mark Ingram, who's cheap and has a good productive game on the run.
So you just want a Fournette for Ingram trade?
Well, I would like to have Fournette, but I would rather have Mark Ingram just because the chemistry is there with Alvin Kamara already.
Well, I mean that. That's going to be the question, though, because if you don't get Mark Ingram, who are you going to get? Because you can't just not address that situation. You're going to have to go out there and get a running back somewhere, whether it be through the draft. And I don't think it's going to be through the draft. If you give up Mark Ingram, you're going to have to go out there and get a free agent, because you're trying to win the Super Bowl now. You're not building for the future. You're trying to win it this year, so you're going to go all in if it's not Ingram. And then that's the question. How much are you going to pay that guy? So that's going to be the interesting things for Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland. To do, how do we make that move? Is it going to be Mark Ingram or is it going to be another veteran? We've already killed off 2 hours here in the Sports Hangover. One to go. Quick break on ESPN New Orleans, and we'll be right back with the final hour of the Sports Hangover. Don't go anywhere.
Let's move.